What we call Dhyan, India they call it hotel. Every country, every place has got its own terms, own istilahat. So, some place they call it Dhyan, some places they call it cafe, some coffee. So this was started off like how in India you go to the hotel for some tea and they call it tea room. Now there's no sign of any tea in any tea room. So that must have been the beginning. Everything has got a beginning. Now further this way they call it Dakota Beach. Right. I'm sure nobody knows what was the Mujat Tasmiya, why they called it Dakota Beach. I remember very clearly. It had been about 79 or 80, well, maybe before that, 76 or something. So you had small planes, the plane, something happened and I think just crashed there. Land on soft sand or just semi-water. But I heard the sound, besides I heard something happened. You remember going to the plane or that, because at that time there was a novelty, 76, 74, somewhere there. So that plane was called Dakota. Now from that time, it's still running as Dakota Beach. So now what was the Mujat Tasmiya, what was the reason for calling it, nobody knows. Beside they call it Crab City. All this was water, see. I remember going, and if you go on to the near the river bed, you'll find crabs coming out. There was so much of crabs coming out. Right. So it became a Crab City. These things have a name. What we are talking about the beginning, the tea room, yeah. So one is a tea room, one is a cafe. And now they have even hookah room. So the place is called hookah, tea room, cafe. They say, if you want to make a majma without a dawat, then you just off the stage, the hookah room there. Because it's a hookah now, it doesn't sound nice without a company of 20, 30 people. So you say hookah, so one person bought that thing, 20 people joined it. Nice things to waste time. The tea room, coffee, cafe, or hookah room. Whatever to pass time. People have invented according to the different times. They invented different things. Sometimes it's a tea room, sometimes it's a cafe, sometimes it's a hookah room. So just to pass time. Or you got small eating places, right? So all these things start off, essentially they start off with it's a little bit more wealth, abundance, affluence. The community becomes more affluent. And it becomes more affluent. So the change, the behaviors will change. The behavior will not be the same. One friend was asking me, many years, about 25 years ago, I want to start business, what business will start? I asked him, where are you living in this part of Durban? as in Tony, on the whole, right, they are Indians predominant. And what percent of the women are at home? Yeah, maybe just about 5%. So I think the best business would be eating business. The reason is obvious. The husband is working and wife is working. They're coming back home, and because both of them are contributing, right, so one cannot demand from the other. I'm also generating, you're also generating, so we are on par. When you are par, so you can't demand and I can't demand on you. Whoever comes first, he must start off. Roll up the sleeves and peel the onions and do whatever. You see, when this affluence comes, wealth comes, it changes the behavior of a people. Outlook changes, behavior changes, your reasoning and thinking changes. Two things, they change your whole thinking. One is wealth and one is education. So it changes your thinking for the better, and it can change your thinking for the worse. It doesn't always have to be better. One accountant was complaining. So he's married also to an attorney. He's an accountant and his wife is an attorney. And he's complaining, what happened? No, yesterday we were invited to a walima. Both of us went, and all of us don't practice segregation. Men and women separate, all of us don't practice it. Right? So when you don't practice these things, then you have complications. So you're talking to his wife is talking to that other person, everything is like a kachuma, everything is mixed up. So now in the discussion, they're talking something about politics, ANC, whatever they're talking. So the husband gave his own version, what he feels. So the wife, she butted in and said, see, you must just keep quiet. You only earn 80,000, I earn 150,000. So I will do the speaking, you must keep quiet. See that the money brings about a different behavior. The education brings about a different behavior. Before, that woman was passive, quiet, very pleasant to work with, modest and humble, right? When you gave it that education, or she got that wealth, now she's a different person. She's not the same person now. All behavior changed, thinking changed. In Gujarati they say sabo change. Just money came and the whole mind changed, mindset changed. So anyway, we're talking about tea room, cafe, hookah room, all these things here. It became like the culture of the day. Everywhere there's a culture. And it's taken out, it came to such a point now, that culture became like a prestige. You know, I go to Spurs today. Take out the family to Spurs. So what was a disgrace, what was like in a state of desperation. Some things are done in a state of desperation. So الضرورة يتقدر بقدر الضروري. You don't make that law. Shuaib alayhi salam's daughters had to go and look after the goats, right? But now they excused themselves and they said, Abuna Shaykhun Kabir. Now we are forced to do it because our father is extremely old and he's blind. He's blind and he's extremely old. So someone has to go and do the chores of the house. Otherwise, everybody will die. Our livelihood is the number of goats that we do. So that's a livelihood. Now someone has to go and do this. Your father is extremely old, he can hardly walk properly. And He's blind, now how is he going to do that? And we are just two daughters, so we have to go. Now that was an extreme situation. An extreme situation, you just keep it to that, restricted to that need. Don't stretch it beyond the need. Now, because of this, you see, now, woman can go and work, become professional. Now that's not right. Everybody gives his two cents in the Quran Sharif, obviously not right. Like, everybody gives his two cents about tuition, right? Or two cents about a dentist, or two cents about a surgeon, right? Or there's two cents about orthodontist, right? Would that be right? Not right. Pediatrician. So it's a profession on its own. They know the nitty-gritties, they know the ups and the downs, they know about it, right? The same, deen also, you get a person at a normal level and you get a person at a higher level. So the one that he's got a higher level with taqwa, his understanding will be right, generally, with taqwa, and he's at a higher level, he has lived in the company with the righteous, so you'll find a very high level of maturity, you understand things, you perceive it, and in one stroke, in one instance you'll get it. You understand it, right? So like you will find a heart specialist, right? Sometimes you can just see the person's face and the eyes, you can make out he's got a heart problem. While he's dealing with this type of cases all the time, so he knows the symptoms, he knows what to see. Just see the pulse or just see the face, and he can make out this person got a problem, right? He can make it out. So the other doctor can't do it. He doesn't have that level of experience, so he can't. Unless now he also builds that experience, you know, like these other. So, but that experience must be the right experience. It mustn't be just you taking a chance. Say one doctor was aging, see. So he saw his son has got no profession, and he needs to carry on. The fires of the home needs to be burning all the time, and this child of mine is a bit off. He doesn't know anything. How is he going to run the house? So the father said, alright, you know what, you as a company, you understand now how this practice goes. At least you can do something, look after the house, wife and the children, you can do something. So father took him. When you were young, the doctors used to visit the homes. Now the practice is gone. They have a special bag and the stethoscope. See him, we shall get him. Practice who he came for. See? So now the practice is out. So the son accompanied the father. The child is watching what's going on. So he felt the pulse and then he looked down. He saw some orange peels, you know. So the doctor complained. He says, you know, I can see that you have something cold. So the patient felt a little bit guilty. The doctor asked him not to eat all these things here, and he was eating it, right? He said, yeah, I had an orange. He asked him not to eat it. So anyway, now the child thought, no, I learned the whole thing now, I know what to do. A few days later, the father died, so someone was carrying on the family business. So they started calling him. Called him into the one house, so he felt the pulse. Then looked down. When he looked down, he saw a leather mat. He said, now you had leather to eat. So they are telling him, by you koi khane ki cheez hai. Does anybody eat these things? No, you say what you want, but you had leather to eat. See, So, not for everybody to put two and two together and come with some conclusion. That's some knowledge, some understanding, everything, you put it together and then you come to a conclusion, you come to the right conclusion. But you can't put these basic things right and then you're coming to a wrong conclusion. Obviously, you will cause confusion within yourself, within people. But he did the same thing. When he did the same thing, nobody said anything about it. I'm doing it and they make such a big noise. So there's a difference. Father was an experienced person. He is not at that level. His experience was based on knowledge, understanding. And he is guessing and speculating. See, both aren't the same. Imam Rahmatullahi, he brings it about. This is a great majority of the people are lost because of this. Because one was in the day of the beast of Muslim, and they would say, مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. What type of a Nabi? He eats and he goes around the bazaars. So, don't you see the similarities? We and the Nabi. He also got needs, physical needs, and we got physical needs. So what's the difference between us and him? So they began to compare themselves to the Nabi. And that's the way, that's the point where they went off. So Muharram gives several examples to show that sometimes things may outwardly seem to be the same, but there may be a world of a difference. It's a deer, it's a deer, right? But this deer is eating grass, that thing is eating grass. This thing is producing musk, and that thing is producing dung. Don't you see that? Both are eating the same thing, both are deer. It's a deer, it's a deer. This is producing something else, this is producing something else. Don't you see that happening? Here's another example, to open your eyes. There's a lot of illustrations in this kitab. In Muharram's kitab, a lot of illustrations. Open your mind. Magaj. To open your magaj. You know, this bamboo, a type of a bamboo is called cane. You know, before they start, it's cane you. So it's like a bamboo, right? So, sugar cane is also a type of a cane. Because that cane has one is hollow, it has rings, right? At say 10 centimeters or so, there will be a ring. 10 centimeters, there will be a ring. So that same pattern goes on a bamboo, on a cane. So that's why they call it a cane. So this is a cane, and that is a cane, right? This one here is totally hollow, nothing inside. And that thing there, it will sweeten the whole world. The whole world depends on it. Look at Tongat, right? And the whole South Africa depends on Tongat. Right. Can we live without it? A normal home, can you live? Right. So that, here also you take a cane, here also a cane. But it's a world of a difference. Sonia, nothing, absolutely nothing new. And that thing, that one there, outwardly, both are canes, both the same, but can you see the world of a difference? Right? Again, the third example he quotes, ten examples, but whatever I know, I just remember. He says, look at a bee, honey bee, and look at a wasp, right? Outwardly, the features are the same, and they got a sting, both of them, right? And they may be eating the same, nectar or some plant, or they may be eating some. But this thing here, when it eats, it produces honey, right? يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ. A liquid, that's a shifa, it's a cure for mankind. Can you see that? And this thing here will eat the same thing, it will sting you. No good, right? Both look identical. They're eating, they're feeding from the same. But this is producing something else, and that thing is producing something else. Don't you see that? Clear. So when you're comparing yourself against a Nabi, you understand what you're doing. That he is giving a cure and you giving problems to people. He is giving a cure, shifa'ullina, giving a cure, and you causing problems here. But Nabi's approach will be sweet, approachable, you get attracted. If you don't have any preconceived notions, no prejudice, you must be attracted to the Nabi. So the Nabi is different. And do you have that within you? Is that within your nature? His approach is different. His approach is different. Both look the same. He's eating, you eating. He's going to the shop for his needs, you're going, right? But both are different. Why yastabil bahran? Again, another example he gives. It's a body of flowing water, two bodies of flowing water. From a distance, you will see both seem to be identical. This is a body of flowing water, that's a body of flowing water, right? Hadha azmul furatun sa'ihun, sweet or fresh and palatable. And so next, milhun ujad, salt, bitter. You see that? Outwardly on the surface, both seem to be identical. Both bodies of flowing water. On the surface, it seems to be the same. Before we were small, you should see the river mouth, right? A lot of things, a lot of natural things you should see there. Now it's all reclaimed land and surat ko bigadi anymore. They changed all the demographics. The original natural things that were around, they changed all. Anyway, but you see, this whole life depends on this. Doesn't it? Life depends on this. And that thing, it kills. You're going to drink 2 liters of that, it'll destroy you. Right? You see, the whole life, the earth, humans, animals, insects, birds, everybody depend on this thing here. And this thing here? See. But outwardly, both seem to be identical. So this is where people have gone off. People have stay. They liken the awliya, awliya to themselves. What's the difference? He's got the same thing, I got the same thing, he does the same thing, I do the same thing. So what's the difference between me and him? So Warum says, you find hundreds of similarities. Similar, outwardly they seem to be similar, but there's a world of a difference. Both is the whole world of a difference. See? It's that I that's wrong. Fi qulubihim marad. When you say marad, what do you mean? See, they can't understand the Quran Sharif, they can't understand deen, they can't come to terms with Tawheed, etc. Why? So the Quran Sharif says, fi qulubihim marad. There's a disease. When you say disease, what do you mean? So call it a disease, call it an ailment, call it some type of a weakness, right? So if there's an ailment, there's a disease somewhere, problem or something, then that limb cannot function right. Therefore you say, not feeling well, ailment, it doesn't, can't do its duty. His eyes are just watering. And he can't do what the eyes has to do. Can't do it. It's watering one way. Once you drive, but it's just watering. He can't. So when the thing cannot function, can't do its normal function, then you say it's not right. It's sick, it's ailing, it's got a problem. Don't you say that? So by the same token, there is an ailment within the heart, within the mind. Therefore, they cannot understand the word of Allah Ta'ala. It's not because the word of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has got any type of a weakness though. They have got a weakness in their minds. In the hearts is a weakness. So because of the weakness, they can't see it. See why the word marad has been used. Fi qulubihim marad. So when there's a marad, it means that thing cannot function normal. When it can't function normal, it's not doing its work. And you need to treat that thing. You can't make noise now. I see everything yellow. Why are you painting everything yellow? Making a noise. So tell him, but you go and correct yourself. You got yellow jaundice, so everything is appearing to be yellow. There's a problem within you. You got a bout of fever. Hey, this food has got no taste, man. No, what's wrong with you all? No, you didn't prepare this thing yet. I go and treat yourself. You got a fever, very high fever, you're running a temperature, you lost the taste. So you'll treat yourself and you'll be able to get the taste. Same, exactly the same. You've got a sickness in the mind. And because you've got the sickness, you cannot recognize, can't see things in perspective, you can't see things how it's supposed to be seen. So with the sickness is within. And you feel that the sickness is without, on the outside. But the sickness is within. See that? The importance of correcting yourself. But now nobody wants to accept that. To say, no, I got a problem, I got a weakness, I got some type of a resistance, right? I don't want to say that. Why? You feel that it's your pride. You feel that it's your reputation. What do people say? That simple thing also you can't understand. But the pride becomes the obstruction. Well, why is asking? So simple thing like this, you couldn't understand it. But the right thing was to go and ask. Find out. Don't you see the Sahaba Kiram, when they're going in on any expedition, they come back and they will relate, alright, this is what happened here. It was a cold night and he had a ghusl in the cold night. So they go and explain the whole thing, right? Or this person here read the kalima and then to the army general asked for him to be killed, right? So everything is being reported. It's being reported, so if there needs to be a correction, there is correction on the spot. There is a correction, and there is a correction on the spot. You see, the learning and teaching is carrying on. So, Nabi Sassam is not also just keeping to himself, he's watching what's going on. He's teaching, and after he's teaching, he's watching what's going on. Right? So he's speaking about namaz, and namaz has to be done with tranquility, calmness. Right? It must be done like that. But one person is rushing through the namaz, he's telling him, Salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go. Didn't do the namaz with the atidar. So go and repeat it. So he taught him also, but he observed also how the person is doing it. See, he's practical. My ustad used to tell me that in the past he used to call this ustad Atali. The Atali could not only teach, but he will see also. Timelessly he will see. Like for example, you visited the toilet, how did you visit the toilet? Not that they'll see how you went, what you're doing, but after you have left, how you left the toilet, they will see that. We taught you how to do wuzu, they will see from the back, sometimes discreetly, sometimes openly, how you do the wuzu. I think in a good 80-90% home, right, I think all of us are guilty of this sin. There's wastage of water. I see in my own house, on the chair, full blast, and whereas you just needed a quarter glass of water, for example, or just to wipe your finger, to wash your finger. But the tap is open, full blast. I'm sure 2-3 glasses are wasted for that. Just 2 drips of water, 1 glass or 2 glasses wasted. I ask you, are we guilty of israf? Are we guilty or not? Just watch yourself. Watch yourself properly. On experience, I was explaining this, one incident of Hazrat Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali, and there was an architect that built this masjid. So someone asked Mustafa Rahmatullah Ali that if you're going to make israf, you're wasting water, will it affect the namaz? Will it affect the namaz? So definitely, that huzur, that khushu, that nur of that namaz will be affected. I was thinking of, hey, why I'm not getting the concentration, no motivation, the presence of mind, why is it not there? Because of the israf, right? You wasted that water, and because of that wastage, that thing impacted on your namaz. No? The hadith also, after one namaz, he turned towards the congregation, asked them, La yuhsinul al-wudu. For yulbisuna alayna as-sala. Some people are not doing the wudu right. As a result, they're affecting the namaz of the imam. So if the namaz of the imam is getting affected, won't your namaz get affected? So like not washing the limbs correctly is a duty, right, to see that you wash it correctly. Similarly, to see that you're not wasting the water is also a duty. Bila sarfin wala qatrin, no wastage and not less than what is required. I have been guilty of one wrong, right? I'll share it with you, alright? Maybe someone else also benefit. See, the hadith says, إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ مَنَامِهِ فَلَا يَغْمِسَنَّ يَدَهُ فِي الْمَاءِ. What up? Well, you mustn't immerse your fingers or your hands into the water. Now, see that jug that we do is tinja, right? So to support that thing, your thumb goes inside and your forefinger goes on the handle, right? But now, you haven't yet washed your hand. And I say you're guilty of ghamsrat, فَلَا يَغْمِسَنَّ يَدَهُ. I'm guilty of that. So I doing this thing here, you're teaching the hadith, but you're guilty yourself. So إِنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَ بَعْتَدْ يَدُهُ. You don't know that how the hand meant. And now in the summer you can understand it so well. So well you can understand it. Sometimes in the summer you're standing up for namaz, right? So you can actually feel the perspiration dripping down your back, right? From that where it's going. Right. Now in the old days, many a times, they will just suffice with sand cloths. Right? With sand cloths. Now imagine if the water is dripping and went that side. Right. So some of the body got soiled. And then in your sleep, you don't know where your hands are moving around. So therefore the hadith says, by وَلَا يَغْمِسَنَّ يَدَهُ فِي الْمِيْنَا. Don't immerse your hands into the water until you wash the hands thrice. So now I'm quite careful. If I got up, I make sure the thumb doesn't go inside. Because now, to get the balance, you have to put the thumb inside, the four fingers on the handle. But then the thumb is also a finger, part of the hand, isn't it? فَلَا يَغْمِسَنَّ يَدَهُ فِي الْإِنَا. Jesus, you're not going to be taking care of all these type of things. Then the khushu is going to get affected, the concentration, the quality of the namaz is definitely going to be affected. You don't realize, you're wasting. In a ghusl, look at how you take ghusl. You all got the full blast. You enjoy that, full blast, you're enjoying it. So if it's coming out dripping slowly, you don't enjoy it. But then you must see whether more of the water is going out wasted or used on the body. More you are using. I was timing it with a shower, if you just adjust the thing slowly, right? Adjust it. Comfortably, I think about 4 liters of water, you know, 4 full liters you can make ghusl. Nicely you can do it. Or I take 6 liters. But then you must adjust the thing, see how you're doing it. And quickly, you don't have to rush through. It's not that you have to do it very slowly, you can do it quickly. But just 4 or 5 liters of water and a nice ghusl can be done. But just that you must time yourself, alright? How much water is required here? How much water is required? Now you'll find a noor, you'll find a sharah. In your heart you'll find an ease. Why? You didn't waste and you conform to the sunnah. Sunnah is not saying you must do equivalent to the water that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used. Yes, wash your body. But don't waste. Don't underuse, but don't waste. Underusing is also wrong. Suppose you use a certain quantity to see that every limb is washed, but you didn't do that, right? Or you wasted. So both extremes are not right. So in the ghusl also, if you time yourself, you can do it properly. In the wuzu also, you time yourself. I time myself comfortably with a liter of water, you can do the wuzu properly. But then you need to time yourself, right? How I'm washing my hands, how I'm gargling, how I'm washing my face. So if you time yourself, you can adjust all those taps. You can adjust, close it. You are taking water to wash your face. So you know how to adjust it, close the tap, and then wash your face, thrice, etc. Do everything properly in the sunnah. But the hadith is saying, don't waste. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah Pak doesn't like. Wastage, Allah Pak doesn't like. See that? Now you saying, Allah Pak, I'm doing my namaz to like you, to love you, to gain your love. But then you're gaining the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. When you're wasting, I ask you, you're getting the love of Allah Ta'ala, or you're getting distance. La yuhibbul musrifin. He's saying, I don't like you. And you say, no, Allah, I like you. But you're doing everything to earn the dislike of Allah Ta'ala. See that little bit of water. So, if you want to be so careful of that, then you should train us on all these things. Train us. I should think sometime, right? Hazrat's charity was very great, very, very great. A man coming, 100 rupees, 200 rupees, 50 rupees. All day that was his work. He's doing his correspondence, just giving out, just testing out. But you would see that there's no waste either. You train you now to see that you don't waste. Now, two things I've seen that you teach your discipline is not to waste. On that said, the charitable work is going. But this wastage is very particular. Either envelopes, there wasn't emails at that time, there's an envelope for it. So now, when you open that envelope, he's going to see. Somebody will ask you, alright, just open this envelope. But you want to see what you're doing. See that flap. So you must do it slowly so that you open the flap properly. So that envelope can be reused. But if you just throw the thing, can it be used again? So that amount also, he won't want you to waste. As his charity is going, millions is going. But that little bit of wastage, he's not on for it. Inna la yuhibbul musrifin, Allah doesn't like this. Then in the second place I see, that he'll teach you, you know. So you have to teach a concept and then see it's done right. Right? I have to tell the ustaz also nowadays. See in the qiraat class, right? So they'll show you what is ikhfa, they'll show you what is gunna, qalb, etc. But then they will see, are you applying the rock correctly? As you saw any qari sahab, he'll teach you the law, but he doesn't see the application. He'll teach you the law and see you applying correctly. In the Nyasam, the ustad, you should teach us in Gujarati. Nun saakin na pachi, yar malun mati vahav hawe. To gunna hate, idgham karwaan. So about five laws he taught you, one stroke in Gujarati he taught you. But I used to be so fascinated, but he brought it so, you know, such an easy level. Un saakin na pachi, vav, yarmalun mati, vav ave. So idgham na hate, gunna karwa. Isn't it right? Allah bless this pure soul. He's very, very indebted to this people. Right? They sacrifice this. I would see them working 7 days a week. 7 days a week. And I don't remember a day that he won't be there before Fajr. He's there before Fajr. Only one day I remember, one. He just came just before the Fajr Azan. That was that alarm went off. Didn't come right. He's in Tahajjud now, and that someone must have not or interfered with the alarm. As a result, he's waiting. I can't see the alarm. That was the only day. Otherwise, all that time, he's there. See people, how they worked. So I'm showing you now this israf also and how it affects. Same now, it's old people that should teach us. Recently my mother also, she can't see you wasting. Even the ends on the pot, no, don't waste that thing. Don't waste it. The poor person scrape the thing, put it into a bread or something. Some poor person may come around. That may be a meal. There may be some meat there. There may be some potato there. There may be some curry there. A little bit left. But don't waste the thing. Make it into a sandwich. You can give it. Sometimes bread crumbs, you know, don't waste it. She would talk about her mother. My nanny would actually cry if, you know, if waste a little bit. Give it to someone. But don't waste that thing. So that crumbs also, collect that crumbs. Maybe leave it on the side of or the wall or something outside, and so somebody will go and eat that thing. But to waste that thing, they won't like it. See, these old people, maybe they didn't know English, but that doesn't mean they were not learned and intelligent. We think, you know, you got English, then you educated. All they had that very essence of them, they had, but just that they didn't have the word that we talk. They had everything. See, the wastage. small things they would risk. So you won't find that home in need at any time. And you'll see now, in those years, you see the Mehman coming 15, 20, 25. There's nothing short. Why? There was no Israf. 20 Mehman coming at a time, no Israf, no mistake. So we're talking about that majlis we had, you know, a branch off on Israf. So I was talking about Israf and how that Israf will impact on your khushu, concentration, the nur of the namaz, the drive that you have had. So after that majlis, that architect is telling me, Kulamba is telling me, you know what, you spoke about this now, two things in my mind, you know. The whole plan of a tap that's designed here, that thing came in mind, just in the majlis. See, sometimes Buzurgan are these words, right? Reading the words, you see the barakah that descends. The whole design of the tap came in my mind while the majlis was on. Number two, he's telling me why the majlis was on, the whole design of the majlis came. How the masjid, first floor, second floor, ground floor, the whole design, the classroom, how it must be, where the library, where the office must be, the whole thing came in. I know several mehman came here overseas. Hey, in such a small place, how you fit it so much? So that was an inspiration that he got, and it was a time when we were reading some kitab, something, some article of his reading. But you see this Uganda deen, and you hold to them. See, he's got the inspiration of how to save yourself from Israf, right? And he's been inspired how to design the masjid. See that? But that is provided you hold on firmly to this Buzurgan hadith, hold to them, to the lessons, to their guidance, to their teachings, etc. How much of good? The heart must be very open to them, very clear, good, you know, like pulsating with love for them. It's just love for them. You, as though you can't see the weakness. As though you can't see the weakness. You have to discipline yourself as though you can't see the weakness. You don't emulate them in the weakness, but as though you can't see it. So that you don't affect your whole relationship. You can't see this. But now in this one sitting, the architect is telling me, see, the whole design of the tap came into my mind, and the whole design of the masjid came. In just about 5 minutes, I got it. Now, otherwise, you're scratching, you're having meeting upon meeting, now this must be like that, and that must be like that, and this must be not like this. And it's not coming right. And here in 5 minutes, Allah inspired the heart. Allah inspired the heart.